Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Well, tonight, Attorney General breaks silence in the Japa tape scandal, declaring he will prevail against the element he accuses of setting traps for him. The AG has been speaking for the first time since the NDC released what has been described by lawyers and a section of the public as incriminating audio evidence against him in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial. Meanwhile, we're also hearing for the first time from the third accused in the ambulance trial, Richard Japa, who secretly recorded the AG as he demands justice. Now, first, what was the atmosphere in court? My colleague Latif Idris, who was in court for us today and joins me with details. Latif, so you were there. Let us understand how the atmosphere was like in court.
Yes, so unlike the previous sittings, today the court, the financial and economic court at the court complex, it was packed to the rafters. It was full, and we had a lot of people who had to stand outside the courtroom because they couldn't find space in there. We had NDC bigwigs showing up in solidarity of the minority leader. We have members of parliament from the NDC who also showed up in solidarity of the minority leader. And so it was a very anxious faces sitting in court, waiting to hear what the sitting judge had to say with regards to the applications that are sitting before here as we speak.
Now, you witnessed what happened there. So, how was the proceeding like?
Yeah, so the proceeding was built to start at 12 o'clock midday, and the judge came in, I think, a minute before 12. So, she was on time. I mean, she even came before the time that has been advertised. Mm. And so, when she sat in, the lawyers for lawyers for Japa, that's the third accused, lawyers for Dr. Kesla Tufosin, Aziz Bamba, and the Attorney General, he was in court. Mm. Initially, he didn't contribute, and I'm sure we're going to get to when the Attorney General had to come in to address one or two issues. And then so there was back and forth, and the sitting judge listened to all the submissions that were made. And then she put forth that she is going to make a determination on the applications that have been filed, and that she wouldn't allow oral arguments because she has enough evidence before her to make a determination on the applications that are sitting on her table. And we know about the application, we know about the call for mistrial, and that's some of the accusations or allegations should be struck out. That's from Richard Japa.
So we know that for Richard Japa, he is applying for an order striking out the charges
against
and
him,
terminating the proceedings, or alternatively staying the proceeding against the third accused or a stroke applicant here.
Yeah. So that is for Richard Japa.
Yes.
So that's the one of the applications sitting before the judge. We also know that Dr. Kesla Tufosin is also applying to the court
for a mistrial.
And there was also one which is asking for the live telecast of the proceedings, which we understand that the Chief Justice has jurisdiction over that one.
Okay.
We don't have a determination on that yet.
Now, there was a point where the AG and Thaddeus Sory were disagreeing on capacity of a deponent.
Exactly. So, if you recall, there's been an application filed on behalf of the Attorney General, challenging Mr. Japa's application that the cases against him to be struck out or a stay. Now, that deposition wasn't filed by Mr. Godfrey Dami himself. It was filed by a principal state attorney. Now, Mr. Thaddeus Sory or lawyer Thaddeus Sory's case is that the principal state attorney didn't have the capacity to file that affidavit in opposition. But the AG was quick to respond to that. He said that no, Mr. Thaddeus Sory wasn't right, and that the principal state attorney had the right and had the capacity to file that affidavit, and that he referenced paragraph one of that particular affidavit in which the principal state attorney mentioned that he came across this information which had been captured in the affidavit in line of his duty, in line of his duty working as a principal state attorney.
Mm. Now, after the proceedings, the AG addressed the media.
Yeah, and it was very brief. So he came out and he was rushed. I mean, the media, the journalists around rushed him, wanting to know exactly how he felt about the proceedings. And he was quick in his word, saying that he is confident that at the end of the day, even though his enemies are setting traps in his way, he will prevail.
All I can say is that the Lord does not delight in the pleasure of the wicked, and that even though they've laid traps for me, I will flee from them. And righteousness will always prevail over evil. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
So that was the Attorney General. Yeah. Very brief conversation there.
Yeah.
But we know that in court, Aziz Bamba also talked about the tape and saw direction from the judge.
Yeah, so there was the issue of admissibility of the tape. Now, Aziz Bamba, he wanted to know from the sitting judge whether or not the tape that has been submitted as part of the application by Dr. Kesler to forcing would be admitted in court and be played in open court. Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to the sitting judge, she said that once the tape is in court, she would assess it. Mm-hmm. She didn't say explicitly whether the tape will be played in open court or otherwise. Mm-hmm. But what we can report is that she said that once the tape is in the court's custody, the court would assess the tape.
Okay.
As to whether or not this would inform the final decision or her ruling, we are unable to tell because she didn't say that in open court. All she said was that once the tape is in the custody of the court would assess the tape.
But earlier, the originator of that said tape spoke to you. What did he say?
Yeah, so Richard Jakwa was in court. He was in high spirit, in fact. And so I caught up with him before he entered the courtroom. And he said that, yes, he's put out the tape. The Ghanaian people have listened to the tape. He expects that the judge has also listened to the tape. And the fact that now that he's been tendered in as evidence with the application that have been filed, he expects that the judge will do nothing but justice for him is for him to walk free.
Do you expect... Mr. Godfrey Dami to be in court today. Is that your expectation?
Well, he's supposed to be in court because he's Attorney General. And this issue is personally between he and I.
If he doesn't show up, how would you feel if he doesn't show up?
The court will determine that.
Mm-hmm. So, again, you want to reiterate that at the end of the day, you would be exonerated. You are not going to jail.
Because I'm an innocent man.
What do you make of the position that the tape you put out, it's a doctored tape?
Well, they are claiming it's a doctored tape. I didn't say that. So they should bring the original.
Mm.
They should tell the original to the court.
But why did you record the Attorney General?
Well, that is not for you.
He says you've been disingenuous.
But that's what he claims.
If that it was a private...
prosecuting innocent people, who is disingenuous?
It was a private conversation, and now you put it out.
You claim it's a private conversation.
That's what he says.
Well, a private conversation, when it's a conversation that leads to committing crimes, it can no longer be private. It becomes a crime against the state. So it can no longer be private. So that private claim is neither here nor there.
The point, bottom line is you didn't tender that in evidence.
I'm not a lawyer. My lawyer knows his strategy. And he understands the court processes more than I do. So he's doing what is required by him. He has got his own strategy. And I cannot dictate to him his strategy.
So at the end of the day, you expect that you're going to walk?
Well, there must be justice. And I'm here seeking for justice.
So justice, anything other than you walking free will be injustice.
Well, I cannot decide that I'm walking free. It is her ladyship who decides based upon the evidence that is before her. The evidence will lead to that. And I know she's going to hold fidelity to the law. And that's what is expected of her. And that's exactly what I said I know she'll be doing. So I don't have any issue at all.
Are you looking forward to a face-off between you and Mr. Godfrey Dame?
No, it can't be a face-off.
Face-to-face, let me put it that way,
face-to-face. No, face-to-face. We are dealing everything in court. My lawyers will deal with it.
In court.
But I cannot cross-examine him. My lawyer will do that. So there's nothing like face-to-face.
Have you
it's
seen
an
him?
Issue of evidence against evidence. You see, the game is about evidence, that is all.
Have you seen him since you put out the tape? Have you seen the Attorney General after putting out the tape in the public domain?
Not at all.
Has he reached out to you?
Not at all.
Have you reached out to him?
Not at all.
So there was a CJ, a Justice of the Supreme Court involved. Has he reached out to you?
Not at all.
Well, so that is the third accused in this whole issue, Richard Jackpa there.
Richard Jackpa.
But when do we expect to have rulings on the applications?
So on the 6th of June, that is this coming Thursday, we expect the sitting judge to make a ruling on all the applications sitting before her.
Thank you. Top story here on Joy FM 99.7. Let's go into the phone lines now and have some interactions on this particular matter. We're being joined on the line by Martin Pebu, who is a private legal practitioner, and also by Sammy Jemfi, who is NDC's National Communications Officer. He was in court today. Let me start with you, Martin Pebu, on this particular matter. The AG is raising some concerns about the applications on the table. Now, one of them is that his prosecutorial powers cannot be injuncted by anyone. Is it that his powers can be injuncted? And if yes, what conditions will elicit that particular injunction?
Your work.
When he says his prosecutorial powers cannot be injuncted, generally, as a principle of law, yes. But if only nothing untoward has happened. That if really nothing untoward is happened. But where something untoward is happened, yeah, it happens. Look, and maybe it's a play of words. Let's say generally, the words that they use, what I'm familiar with is that the court would grant an order of stay of proceedings once it's found that the contents of the tape are authentic and true. So, and the stay of proceedings is stopping the whole trial. So I don't think much depends on the word injunction. Everything depends on whether he said those things or not. So it's not about the word. Because there's a Supreme Court decision, Republic versus Bafubone, that endorses the remedies. One of the remedies for failure to disclose something like this, this prosecutorial misconduct, is stay of proceedings. Yes, stay of proceedings. So that is effectively what a court will grant if the charges are made out. That is to say, the infractions that we all heard in the tape. If they are made out, yeah. So nothing turns on the use of the word injunction. No, I wouldn't spend much time on that, the use of that word. Bottom line is that if this tape is found to be credible enough, it meets the standards, yes, you will get the court stopping the trial. That's it.
But what standards must the tape meet before it is admitted in court?
So there are the issues of the authenticity and not being doctored. The authenticity and not being doctored. So that's how come I'm wondering how this is going to be done, considering that the experts weren't called to say, okay, this is authentic, this is not, etc. So, but we'll leave it for the court to decide. So I thought we were going to hear evidence being adduced about the authenticity, etc., right? Yeah, because some are saying, you see, what they're saying is doctored. It's actually about editing it, right? Yes, editing it. So, you know, at a point, you would hear that that it had been said that the tape is 26 minutes long, but it turned out being 16, where is the extra 10 or so, even if it's not 26, a certain figure, 26 or so, is it 23, whatever, but it was 20 something, but the tape itself is 16 point something minutes. So where is the extra, those kind of things. But so far, you see that he's not running away from the content. But as for law, there's also a huge regard for procedure. So for now, you see, it's difficult to tell because the authenticity and those things have not been gone into. It's difficult to tell. But the contents are really damaging. And for me, that is where we should be looking at. Dami is not denying the content. He's not denying that that was his voice. He's not denying that he said those very damning things. And so even if I were him, I don't even know what moral authority he had to enter the court. But now he should have been out of that office. This today's proceedings, his appearance in court and everything just tells you that this country, there's really a big problem. We have a very huge problem with our ethics. Mm. It tells you that there are no adults in this country. Yeah, when I say adults, I'm speaking locally. That's it. We don't have real statesmen. Yeah, we don't have real statesmen. We may have some people who call themselves statesmen, but they are not real.
No. Okay.
I'm telling you, Mr. Brace, the contents of this tape are so damning that by now, damning should have been booted out of the office a long time.
But I mean, whilst he has not...
It's not surprising because that's the same way he behaves. He's also very corrupt. So, like father, like son, kind of.
Aren't you being... I mean, you're just... When you say that you're being... it looks like you have evidence that says that, yes, this man is corrupt, and that's why you're saying so.
Oh, absolutely. But the evidence is all out there. One, Akufo-Addo said corruption is when you bring family and friends into government. And this government is awash with its relations. Yes, Oforiatta has not totally resigned. He's only been moved from finance ministry formally. But on paper, he was still in Washington in the IMF negotiations. He said what? Presidential advisor on what capital markets, etc. He's still there. You have which other listen? His brothers all over, relations, so many appointments, friends. Ah, it's a family and friends government. So by his own definition of corruption, that is it. Number two, you are not here when the Akufo-Addo padded the Ameri deal by $800 million. Had not been for NDC. NDC caught him. Then he said that he was misled by Ejako. Ejako said no. He wasn't in the transaction. It was Gabi. Mm. It was Gabi who led the transaction. So between Akufo-Addo and Gabi, they were going to steal $800 million. Can you imagine? And we are here
okay.
Ghana. I said, there's something wrong with this whole country. The men in this country are not men. Maybe we look physically like men, but okay. Mentally, there
so,
are no.
So lawyer, stay with me. Let me bring in a colleague of yours, Nana Bafo, Nana J. Bafo, who's also a private legal practitioner. Lawyer, so if the Attorney General is not speaking to the content of that recording, could it be a strategy for him to wait till he gets his chance in court to defend himself?
thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners and my very good friend Martin Table. I think that before I go there, let me quickly react to certain things. First and foremost, we need to distinguish constitutional jurisdiction from the procedural jurisdiction of the court. They are two separate things. The constitutional jurisdiction is the source of its authority, is the power given to the court to be able to resolve matters that come before it. The procedural jurisdiction is the power of the court to manage the proceedings before it. There are two different things. Now, if you say that the court may not be able to grant an injunction to restrain the performance of a grand state of proceedings, I don't know very respectfully the basis for which that conclusion came to, has, you know, my brother has come to that position. Be that as it may, law is about positions, and we all have bases for forming certain positions. However, I disagree with them. You cannot use procedural jurisdiction to interfere with the performance of a constitutional power. And that is why you cannot even use an injunction to restrain the performance of a constitutional duty.
Even when that responsibility is also being abused in a way?
If it is being abused, very respectfully, if it is the exercise of a discretionary power under Article 296 and 23 of the Constitution, it is required that when you have a discretionary power, you should exercise it in a manner which is candid, which is fair, right? And, you know, it doesn't amount to an abuse, okay? And so the court can scrutinize it. The court can scrutinize it to determine whether or not it is being exercised in a manner which is candid, in a manner which is fair, right? But, you know, the court, in doing so, would then have to make a decision that it is an abuse of constitutional power. Okay. It's an abuse of discretionary power, which is given to you under the Constitution. But the court would not injunct the performance of a constitutional duty. The court will not also use procedural discretion, procedural jurisdiction, to stay the performance of a constitutional duty. No, the court won't do that. In fact, in the case of Abu Ramadan versus the Electoral Commission, the second case, the Supreme Court said it. The Supreme Court is always reluctant to interfere with the performance of a constitutional power. The size of a constitutional power.
Okay. Indeed. Thank you, Nana. I'm grateful. Indeed, but let me bring in Sami Jinfi here. He
the
speaks
court
for the
is even
he
relaxed.
Is the National Communications Officer of the NDC. Sami, you were in court today, and when you were speaking to the media, you sought to claim that the Attorney General seemed to be running away from his case. Why do you make that point?
Oh, that is very clear for every descending Guinean to see. Serious averments have been made by Mr. Jagpa, the third accused in this ambulance case, against the Attorney General. These are the testimony of Richard Jagpa under oath. He gave oral evidence at the last adjourned date when he was being cross-examined, I think on the 23rd of May 2024, and has proceeded to file a motion or notice supported with an affidavit, you know, reinforcing the evidence he gave on that fateful day, the 23rd of May 2024, which is basically to the effect that the Attorney General is on a witch hunt mission against Honorable Ato Forsen, and that he has only added him, Richard Jagpa, to the case as a decoy. In other words, to camouflage his real intentions. Because according to Mr. Jagpa, he's had several interactions with the Attorney General in which he has made it clear to him that he, Mr. Jagpa, has no case to answer. And that number two, it is President Akufo-Addo and the former finance minister, Ken Oforiatta, who have been mounting pressure on him, Godfrey Dame, to imprison Ato Forsen at all cost, even though he knows that he's innocent. These are damning, you know, assertions by a witness that border not only on professional misconduct or prosecutorial misconduct on the part of the AG, but also on crime. So what you will expect any prosecutor, any lawyer, any attorney general what is sought to do is to swear an affidavit in opposition to these, you know, very damning assertions of the third accused. You expect him to deny or to dispute these claims and demonstrate to the court that they are vexatious, scandalous, and false. But to our amazement, Godfrey Dame yet again decided to flee from accountability because
he argues that this application, which is praying the court to stay proceedings, is unknown to criminal procedure and practice in Ghana. Is it not right there to say that if you're basing your argument on a recording that you have, That is not something that in criminal law we know, and therefore the court cannot grant that application.
Please, that issue has not even come up for determination. So I don't know where you've gotten this issue of, whether the court has powers to grant injunction. That issue has not even come up because today the oral arguments were not made. The applications were not even moved. The judge only said that he was going to determine the pending applications based on the affidavits. So I don't want to go there. My point is that Godfrey Dame has not been able to depose to any affidavit challenging the truthfulness of the assertions made against him by Mr. Jagpa. He has shifted the responsibility to a principal state attorney called Richard Jambibi, who was not on the call, which was recorded, the recording we put out there. Neither was he in the several meetings Godfrey Dame had with Mr. Jagpa.
Let me get some education here from Lawyer Martin Pebble. Lawyer Martin Pebble, is the Attorney General asking, a state attorney to depose this application or affidavit on his behalf? Is he right or wrong?
He is right. Yes, he can allow. Governor Dami can say anybody should do it for him, but what he does is that he weakens Godfrey's case. And that's what Sami Genfi is saying, that Godfrey should have confronted Jagpa through the affidavit in opposition. But the fact that Godfrey is running away further shows that, yes, the contents of the tape are true. That's the point. Yes, you can ask anybody to swear to an affidavit. We have certain rules to be obeyed in doing that. Yes, okay. That's allowed. But in this case, it means that Jambibi is giving first-hand hearsay. That's first-hand hearsay. I'm informed by the Attorney General and believes him to be true that this. So that's first hand because it was Godfrey Dame who went to the meetings and now, or who was on the call, and he's now informing Jambibi, and Jambibi is deposing to the affidavit. So that's
Lawyer Martin Pebble there, also in this conversation where Lawyer Sami Genfi and Lawyer Nana Ejebafo. I'm grateful to you for listening. This has been Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.